I just wonder if anybody here, have you guys been hearing anything from the Lord? Or I was talking to Leah earlier around texting, and she was curious in particular if anybody had any dreams recently.
I just had one.
Yeah, what? Tell us about it.
So the only thing I could remember from it, it was actually this morning, and it stuck with me because it was about new babies and like new birth. And so someone was giving me materials on like new mom stuff. And I thought that's really funny as I'm watching the dream. So I'm like, Lord, I have like 100 children. The last thing I need is like books on how to have a new baby. And so I felt it was more of a spiritual thing, that there was new birth and a new material that would be needed for the new birth. Wow. And so I believe that God was saying that there's new things coming, and it's not going to be, you know, things that we already have the manuals for. It's going to be new things, which means new material for the new thing. Because in the dream, I was already a mother. And so that's why I think it's a spiritual thing.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
That's funny, because I had a dream that I found out I was pregnant.
Wow.
Yeah, it showed where I seen the two lines, and I was like, yeah, that ain't real. That ain't real. And then I woke up.
Confirmation.
The two lines, you know, on the test.
Control line and the pregnancy line.
Yeah, I was like, nope.
That's significant that both of you had dreams about babies. That's huge. That's significant. Huh.
Especially if you had, did you have it last night, Felicia?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, mine was last night, this morning. Yeah. Wow.
That's why I thought it was funny.
That is funny. That's even more ironic, though.
Yeah. Amazing. How about you?
No dreams.
Anything?
No dreams.
Anything the Lord speaking to you, though? Maybe you should do it all.
You know, something, though, I wanted to mention a couple weeks ago, and I didn't. The idea of declarations, that, and this whole COVID season, that's been something that's really been on my spirit, is about making declarations. And I got thinking about our church, that we, you know, just as much as we have prayer focus, we should have like a declaration focus, like these are the things that we're declaring this week, or these are the things that we're, you know, standing on this week, and have like those, because a lot of people, they don't know what declarations are or what they even mean. And I think if we start implementing some of those, like these are the declarations of the week, or however we do it.
Yeah, it's good. Anything prophetic or anything you're sensing?
Well, I don't know. It doesn't, nothing about babies, but the only things that have been jumping out at me from our studies at the church and such, one of them was that, well, I got it from my own Bible study with the children's kit, the kids class, was that he gives the spirit without measure. I've been saying it all the time, and that just how there's, he gives the spirit without measure. What more can I say? That's one thing. And the other thing is what the, I've been witnessing to one of my students, but we got this from a couple things we've talked about, is when we share the gospel, we honor God as creator. And I love that. And so when I was witnessing to one of my Japanese, I sent this email, and I really felt led to put that in, you know, because she even said to me, she said, well, when I was a kid, I used to pray for my ancestors. My grandmother taught me how to pray to my ancestors. That's all she knows about prayers, praying to her ancestors. And I just really felt like when I was just the whole idea that God, when we preach the gospel, we need to say that this is the God who created the heavens and the earth. That just has really jumped out at me lately, but it's nothing about babies. Sorry.
Well, that's one of the decrees, or one of the declarations we're going to be making in this Port Huron restatement, is that God as creator, based out of Nehemiah chapter 9. There might be some that are going to watch this. I'm going to record this teaching part just real quick. If you haven't heard yet about the Port Huron restatement, go to, I'll put the link in wherever I'm sharing this, and learn more about it. And then also just the most recent Nehemiah study from chapter 9 is really the scriptural basis for our decrees and stuff. Pretty amazing. how God revealed that. And just, I'm encouraged just in general. I don't know. I think it's also been the Ezra Nehemiah study. I'm like on fire now, and it's been a long time since I felt like that. So just got to pray more of our church gets engaged. 2 Chronicles 30. Let me go through this real quick because Chronicles, again, I'm just doing this in my personal study and I'm getting so much revelation from it. And this is the story of Hezekiah, King Hezekiah, and he brought revival. So all this stuff is about revival that we've been talking about, Ezra, Nehemiah, and then just as I'm reading 2 Chronicles, this is just a story of revival. The nation was far from God. Hezekiah's father was very wicked. Hezekiah comes along and he brings revival. And the story that's pretty amazing is how he called all of Israel to Passover, to celebrate Passover. Of course, the greatest event in Israel's history, Passover. And yet it wasn't celebrated because they forgot God. And some of the evil kings of the past, they forgot about God. And so Passover, this is the most important holiday to the Jews that would remind them of God and how he saved them and all of that, was not being celebrated. So Hezekiah, he tears down all the idols and all the false altars and everything. And he says, let's get back to celebrating this festival. But not only that, because Israel was divided. You had the 10 northern tribes that way back in Solomon's day split off. And then you had the southern tribes, Judah, Benjamin, and Levi, and they formed what is Judah. And that was really the Jewish nation at that point. The Israelites, it went far from God and the other 10 tribes. But Hezekiah does something really bold. He says, we got to celebrate Judah. We got to celebrate Passover. But you know what? We're going to invite the 10 tribes that we have been broken away from and split for so long. We're going to invite them in. So it says here, I'm going to go kind of section by section. 2 Chronicles 30, verse 1, he says, and Hezekiah sent to all Israel and Judah and also wrote letters to Ephraim and Manasseh. They were the northern tribes, that they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem to keep the Passover to the Lord God of Israel. Now, God appointed Jerusalem. And you had asked earlier, Jessica, are we going to do mostly from this place? That's what the Lord spoke to me. That's what the Lord spoke to me long before I was pastor, you know, 5 years ago today, basically, or, you know, a couple of weeks ago, that this is his house of prayer. And then at the Port Huron restatement, that was what the Lord spoke to me. But then what's interesting is just as I was talking with people and other people, and a lot of were discouraged, well, people are going to get, you know, they're going to feel like this is something from just this church and you should put it in a neutral site and that. And I started to lean in that way. And that's when the Lord kind of stopped me on a lot of things. Just, no, got to get back to what he called me to. And it's supposed to be here. And some people will react. They'll say, well, that's in that church and we're not connected with that church, or they're just trying to steal our people or whatever. Doesn't matter. Hezekiah called people to Jerusalem, God's place. I'm not saying this is just God's place, but it's God's place for this particular mission. And so he goes on, verse 2, for the king and his leaders and all the assembly in Jerusalem had agreed to keep the Passover in the second month, for they could not keep it at the regular time because a sufficient number of priests had not consecrated themselves, nor had the people gathered together at Jerusalem. And the matter pleased the king and all the assembly. So usually it's the first month when they celebrated Passover, but Hezekiah is just kind of renewing everything. And the priests weren't ready to do Passover and the people weren't ready. And so they said, well, let's do it in the second month, but it was supposed to be the first month, but they had that flexibility. And boy, with all this COVID and stuff, we've had to be flexible a lot. And yet that's of the Lord. And we may have to be flexible in certain things, but there is that grace for flexibility. Now, verse 5, So they resolved to make a proclamation throughout all Israel from Beersheba to Dan, which means way in the south, all the way to way in the north, that there should come, that they should come to keep the Passover to the Lord God of Israel at Jerusalem, since they had not done it for a long time in the prescribed manner. Then the runners went throughout all Israel and Judah with the letters from the king and his leaders and spoke according to the command of the king. Children of Israel, return to the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Then he will return to the remnant of you who have escaped from the hand of the kings of Assyria. And do not be like your fathers and your brethren who trespassed against the Lord God of their fathers, so that he gave them up to desolation, as you see. Now do not be stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves to the Lord and enter his sanctuary, which he has sanctified forever, and serve the Lord your God, that the fierceness of his wrath may turn away from you. For if you return to the Lord, your brethren and your children will be treated with compassion by those who lead them captive, so that they may come back to this land. For the Lord your God is gracious and merciful and will not turn his face from you if you return to him. And what I saw here is the boldness of Hezekiah. I see here promotion. He went out, he sent out runners to all of Israel, and he was very bold with them. You guys need to be here. This is of God. You need to be a part of this. And if you are participate in this, you'll be blessed. If you don't, you're in trouble. You're missing out. And the Lord just really spoke to me about how bold we have to be about this Port Huron restatement, that I can't be humble, quote unquote, or shy about it, but we have to really promote this and say, you know, is this of the Lord? I believe it is. I think a number of people witnessed to the fact this is of the Lord, and we need to go forward with it. And then verse 10, so the runners passed from city to city through the country of Ephraim and Manasseh as far as Zebulun, but they laughed at them and mocked them. Nevertheless, some from Asher, Manasseh, and Zebulun, again, those are the northern tribes, humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. Also, the hand of God was on Judah to give them singleness of heart to obey the command of the king and the leaders at the word of the Lord. And so we see that opposition should not stop us. Some people might, again, say, well, whatever, this is your thing, or you're just wanting to promote yourself or whatever. Hey, we got to just be bold, call people to this thing, this year of prayer, be bold about it. And yes, some may mock, some may resist, but the humble, they will respond. And I think we're going to be surprised by some of the people that are going to respond and come and be a part of this. Just makes sense. All right. And a couple more things. So I'm thinking about the conference too, coming up in June, and practicing all these things, making a call to people to get here and be a part of this conference. I mean, this is huge that we have Russ, Corey, and Josh all in one conference. That's huge. And it's a big investment on our part, but we need to call people to this because that's going to be a significant word. By the way, Josh texted me real early this morning. He said, we're praying for you right now. We're praying for your church. I'm like, yeah, go God. Amen. So then they finally did gather. And I think the next few verses are a pattern for every conference that we're to have, beginning with this one and everyone from this point on. So in verse 13, it says, now many people, a very great assembly, gathered at Jerusalem to keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread in the second month. They arose and took away the altars that were in Jerusalem. They took away all the incense altars and cast them into the brook Kidron. These are the false altars, altars of idols. They arose and took away the altars that were in Jerusalem. They took away all the incense altars, cast them in the brook Kidron. Verse 15. Then they slaughtered the Passover lambs on the 14th day of the second month. The priests and the Levites were ashamed and sanctified themselves and brought the burnt offerings to the house of the Lord. And they stood their place according to their customs, according to the law of Moses, the man of God. The priest sprinkled the blood received from the hand of the Levites, for there were many in the assembly that had not sanctified themselves. Therefore, the Levites had charge of the slaughter of the Passover lambs for everyone who was not clean to sanctify them to the Lord. So it started out with repentance. And I think a significant start to every one of our conferences needs to be a time of repentance. We need to sanctify ourselves. And that's just been a word I've had, of course, for months now, ever since this whole plague broke out. But we have to have repentance and start the conference the first day, first night, first day, and maybe even going into the next morning, that's going to be a real focus of repentance. They did not sanctify themselves, and we need to sanctify ourselves. And then, verse 18, for a multitude of the people, many from Ephraim, Manasseh, Issachar, and Zebulun, these are the northern Israel tribes that were away from God, had not cleansed themselves, yet they ate the Passover contrary to what was written. But Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, may the good Lord provide atonement for everyone who prepares his heart to seek God, the Lord God of his fathers, though he is not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary. And the Lord listened to Hezekiah, and he healed the people. And so I think then we move from repentance into intercession. Hezekiah interceded, and God heard him. I loved that verse 20. God listened to Hezekiah. I mean, God set up the law. You got to be this way. You got to do it this way. You have to be cleansed and everything before you can have the Passover. But a lot of people were away from God, and Hezekiah prayed for them, and God was merciful. And I think that we just need to pray for everybody, not just participants in the conference, but that be a time of intercession and move into intercession. And then verse 21, last section. So the children of Israel who were present at Jerusalem kept the Feast of the Unleavened Bread 7 days with gladness. So the children of Israel who were present at Jerusalem kept the Feast of the Unleavened Bread 7 days with great gladness. And the Levites and the priests praised the Lord day by day, singing to the Lord, accompanied by loud instruments. And Hezekiah gave encouragement to all the Levites who taught the good knowledge of the Lord. And they ate throughout the feast 7 days, offering peace offerings and making confession to the Lord God of their fathers. So we start with repentance. We go into intercession, and then boom, we celebrate. We party in the Lord. We just rejoice in the Lord. We sing. We make loud. So there was loud celebrating. We feast. And I talked about this in from Nehemiah, the pattern of feasting and fasting. And so they started by fasting, and then they moved into feasting. And then it was so good, verse 23, that then the whole assembly agreed to keep the feast another 7 days, and they kept it another 7 days with gladness. For Hezekiah, king of Judah, gave to the assembly 1,000 bulls, 7,000 sheep. The leaders gave to the assembly 1,000 bulls, 10,000 sheep, and a great number of priests sanctified themselves. The whole assembly of Judah rejoiced, also the priests and the Levites, all the assembly that came from Israel, the sojourners come from the land of Israel, and those who dwelt in Judah. So they continued, they extended it. So there was great joy in Jerusalem, for since the time of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, there had been nothing like this in Jerusalem. Then the priests and the Levites arose and blessed the people, and their voice was heard, and their prayer came up to his holy dwelling place to heaven. Like, yes, that's what we end with, just the celebration. And they extended the meetings. And that has happened to me once, where we went from a fire in February into 23 nights of meetings after just 3 days of fire in February. And I could see that happening. I could see just us moving and exploding into something where God just wants to keep moving in revival. And so fasting, intercession, feasting, humbling ourselves, repenting in that sense, and then praying, interceding, and then moving into great celebration and teaching. Teaching was in there too, if you notice. The Levites were teaching. So let's pray. Let's pray these things, and we'll pray about these things and the Port Huron restatement, and then kind of close with personal church type needs and such. But if you guys have any comments or anything you can share, I'm going to shut off the recording, but then we'll move into prayer. And we do encourage those who are watching that are, who have heard this, if you guys can pray with us and just, I mean, not pray now live on Zoom now, but take after you heard this, keep these things in prayer, that we see something happen here that will impact the nation. And so be praying with us on that. And at some point we will have more public Zoom prayer meetings that others from outside can join. I'm beginning to invite some people who couldn't make it, but some people from the outside who feel that this is of the Lord, we're welcoming them in. So anyway, God bless those who watch this, and stay tuned.